Welcome to The Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail. Each month starts with a deep dive into SPINS data, spotlighting growth trends and key industry insights. Then I'll bring you conversations with industry leaders and highlight brands making waves in the natural channel. We'll wrap up each month with actionable strategies, collaborative discussions, and tactical tips to help you thrive. This season is packed with fresh perspectives, big ideas, and everything you need to stay informed in natural food retail.
Hello, and welcome to The Buyer's Desk, an infra podcast. I'm Jim Olson, SPINS Senior Retail Insights Manager, your special guest host today with a very special guest. Across all my years at SPINS and helping retailers learn how to use our service, when walking through the tool, I love to use the default category of salty snacks, or as SPINS labels it, chips, pretzels, and snacks. Regardless of the store's product standards, odds are they always carry at least a few SKUs on shelf for those snacking fans, and for good reason. The salty snack category grew 7% at Infra, according to year-over-year data from SPINS, for the past 52 weeks, outpacing the 2% growth seen across the broader natural channel. Now, a longtime staple of this category is pretzels, which itself has seen sales up 6% at Infra. Now, today, I had the pleasure of interviewing a brand doing exceptionally well in this space across Infra and the broader natural channel, with no intention of slowing down. So, without further ado, I'm very happy to welcome Christy Lewis, founder of Quinn Snacks and filler of stomachs here in the Infra office. Christy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jim.
And I do want to say, in deference to the wonderful Infra staff, thank you for all the samples you've given us lately, too. It's a great little pick-me-up snack throughout the day.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm glad. That's our job.
Now, I'd love to begin today with the actual beginnings for Quinn Snacks as a company. The pretzel category is certainly not new by any means. Certainly there's some bigger names out there that have been around in terms of like more like mass market household penetration. But what was your initial motivation to get into the pretzel business overall?
Yeah, so we actually started in 2010, and we started in the microwave popcorn category. If anyone who's listening is familiar, I actually have one of our old boxes right here. So we launched into this. We launched with our Pure Pop bag, which was our take on wanting to make sure that we were just putting like a very transparent, chemical-free bag into the market. And so we got our footing launching into microwave popcorn. And then a couple years later, we kind of saw this gap in the pretzel space. There was void of innovation. There was gluten-free, I won't name names, but there was one brand doing gluten-free, or maybe two at the time. And I really wanted to make sure that we put something out that was whole grain, sustainable agriculture. We had been getting into regenerative ag at that point in time. So that was about 2015, and realized that there was a major gap in the pretzel category. And so we always like to go into declining categories because we feel like there's an opportunity in there, and launched our first whole grain, gluten-free pretzel stick and twist in 2016. And then in 2019, we launched the world's first gluten-free peanut butter-filled pretzel nugget. That category was also down and declining, and we felt like we could do something better just using, obviously, like no natural flavors. We wanted to stick to pure oils, no junk, and then using sorghum and rice as a base, and then also just iterating on the flavors, like launching with peanut butter, but then moving into, we have a maple almond butter, we have a pizzeria in market, and then our two innovative that we just launched at Expo West is the peanut butter and honey filled pretzel stick, and then the peanut butter filled stick. And then we also have a peanut butter and jelly nugget, which is my favorite. So yeah, so we kind of, when we started in 2019, again, we just really saw this opportunity and we were, you never know, right? Like you launch into a category and you launch innovation and you never know if it's going to work or not. Sometimes it takes years for it to work and sometimes it takes overnight. We were really excited watching the numbers, like every week, week over week, those sales kept increasing and increasing. So we definitely, you know, struck a chord. We hit certain consumers who were looking for that. For me, I grew up on the East Coast and grew up eating Snyder's and pretzels. And then when I became gluten-free about 20 years ago, I couldn't eat anything anymore. Like all my fun, like pretzel snacks. And so putting out, you know, the whole grain gluten-free pretzel stick and twist at the time, and then going into the filled space, which was really exciting. And then of course, obviously you guys have been watching the boom, but the last couple of years, you know, pretzels has seen really like its heyday, like of innovation, flavors, formats, seasonings. So it's been really cool to watch that and be at the forefront of it.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. It's fun to hear that. And, you know, to your point, like trying to find that those soft spots in the market and say, I can do this better. Like, this is why it's, I can fix this. I mean, that's the driver of so much innovation. You know, that's such a great founder story overall.
Yeah, I think it's the clarity of like knowing that you can do it better, but not making it overcomplicated. Especially when like our whole idea around this is, you know, reimagining classic snacks and how do we lean in with all of our purpose around agriculture, which we won't get into because that's like a whole thing in itself. But, you know, ag for us is really important. Showing up for our consumers, like really supporting them and their efforts is really important for us. Like, how do we fill them? How do they like snack better and not feel like crap so then they can show up in the world and be their best? Like, that's kind of what we're all about while supporting our ag initiatives. And so if we can take, you know, old and stodgy category with that in mind and reinvent a category with that in mind, I think everyone wins from it. You don't have to be overly complicated to do something good. So that's kind of our mentality over here.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, I listened to your responses, you know, some big words that popped out, you know, transparency, you know, focus on ingredients, even from back when you started with popcorn to now with pretzels. You mentioned regenerative agriculture, and I know you said you don't want to get too much into it, but I'm from the Midwest, you know, we're big farm, farming state. And so I definitely appreciate that. And I think that's cool. You know, pretzels aren't the newest kid on the block in terms of snack options, but from my experience, Quinn is probably the first company whose stated pillars include being, and I quote, crazy about taste, fanatical about food ethics, and neurotic AF about quality. So however you break it down, these pillars really seem to have propelled Quinn overall. You know, right now you're the number one pretzel brand at Infra. So these pillars are definitely serving the company and the consumers very well. I would love to dive into each of these pillars a little bit further, starting with quality. You know, this can sometimes be like a nebulous brand claim. You know, you see on packaging across all types of categories. It can be kind of tricky to define or defend, especially in the lens of a product's ingredient deck. Recent SPINS panel data, survey data showed that 90% of Gen Z and millennials are actively looking to avoid using or consuming certain ingredients. You know, not to mention the added spotlight of recent governmental suggestions. You know, historically speaking, Quinn has had very strong direct partnerships with farmers to source your ingredients. Does that aspect of your business play into your confidence in the quality pillar?
Yeah, it does. So I think the quality pillar is, I'm trying to think about how to distill it, because quality for us, I mean, if you don't have a quality product, you're dead in the water. And like we went through some really hard times with, you know, moving manufacturers and making filled pretzels are honestly one of the hardest snacks you could get yourself into, which I did not know at the time, which was probably better for not knowing that. It's really hard to make. And then you add the layer of complexity of gluten-free doughs and flours, also really hard to bake. So when you're adding that together, it's really difficult. And so our mentality over here is that we don't just settle. Like, we're not settling. After 15 years, we've been doing this for 15 years, and we still don't settle. We always want to tweak and make sure that we're delivering the best product quality to our consumers. And that can mean like three different things. Like, it can mean flavor. It can, we just up our we don't use natural flavors. So we upped our strawberry and our raspberry powders to help deliver that peanut butter and jelly flavor more prominently. And that was something that we had taken consumer feedback and realized, okay, like, I love it, but some consumers want to up the ante on that, and we will not use the natural flavors, right? So we went back to the drawing board. So it could be flavor. It could be texture. We had a couple of years in the beginning where we were really struggling with that perfect texture and mouthfeel. And so we worked so hard on kind of dialing that in. We're still dialing that in, right? So texture could be another one. Color is another one, like color in heat distribution, you know, in ovens. Like, sometimes the color is golden brown, sometimes it's not. Like, how do we get more consistent there? And then with our sourcing of our ingredients, from a product quality standpoint, we're super neurotic about that. Like, this is something that, you know, I have three boys, right? 15, 12, and 10. So they're older, but totally still neurotic around, like, where is this coming from? Are we working with really reputable suppliers? Are we working with farmers that we trust and respect, and we want to help them grow over a long period of time? And really look at our sourcing suppliers as partners in this. Like, we're all doing this together. And so product quality really is, like, at the core of Quinn and everything that we do, because we can't deliver on flavor, we can't deliver on texture, we can't deliver on color, we can't deliver on a reputable supply chain that we feel really, really good about, then what are we doing then? Why are we here? Why do we exist? So it's something that is really important to us. And then the ag piece around regenerative agriculture with pretzels has been really hard. I mean, not to get into the weeds, but, you know, we've been trying to work with our sorghum supplier on a supply chain for a really long time, but the infrastructure is broken. So farmers will grow regeneratively, right? It takes time, right? You can't just turn on that overnight, as you know. So it's a process. But even, like, if they start, you know, 5 years ago, and we're in a process where now they're, you know, past the transition stage, and we actually don't care about that. We actually would rather work with growers in transition than turn them down, because if they are committed to growing regeneratively over time, like, awesome. Like, we want to be your partner. The challenge, though, is that step of the infrastructure is broken. So farmers can grow whatever you want them to grow, and then when you need to clean or heat treat or process, that's where the buckle is. And so that's been a huge struggle of ours. We're still very deeply committed to regenerative agriculture. We're working with a rice supplier in our pretzels that's Regen Rice, which we're really excited about. But it is not easy. It's really hard, but it still goes back to, like, we're always, you know, progress versus perfection, right? Like, if we're not making progress, then we're not doing the right thing. Like, we always need to be working on progress, and we don't care about being perfect. We're never going to be perfect, but we can always do better. So that's a big of our ethos at Quinn.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, that's such a great, you know, way to kind of steel yourself. Like, there's setbacks, right? There'll be buckles, there'll be difficulties, but progress is worth it every single time, especially in the space of regenerative agriculture. You know, like I said, from the Midwest, I've personally taken a really deep interest in regen over the past couple of years, you know, learning more about the dangers to our, you know, topsoil right now, and the importance of perennial crops, you know, to maintain soil integrity, and, you know, rotating crops for, you know, diversity, for the, you know, betterment of the land. That's all very, very relevant, and should be, I mean, relevant to me in the Midwest, but should be relevant to everybody, right? We're all part of the same food chain. And I think that ties into the next pillar of food ethics. You know, this is an objective that's kind of been around as long as the natural food industry has existed, but only in the past decade or so, you know, I guess, has it kind of risen to the point of being a something that consumers are more aware of, you know, and to being actual purchasing driving factor to what they choose and pick in terms of brand selection at store. A recent SPIN survey said 49% of consumers today are values-oriented shoppers, meaning they take a brand's ethical company standards into account when making a purchase decision. Of these shoppers, 8 in 10 state that things like animal welfare, environmental welfare, labor and worker welfare, and ingredient sourcing were personally important to them. How does it feel, you know, speaking to, you mentioned, you know, it's the partnerships you have with your farmers, you know, these efforts, as difficult as they may be, you know, to helping some farms who are in transition, you know, not perfectly shining stars, but, you know, on their way to it. You know, how does it feel to be so aligned with consumer preferences nowadays in this space? Was this always part of the plan for Quinn, or just kind of a happy happenstance that aligned, you know, consumer sentiment with just your personal ethos?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an alignment with personal ethos and consumer sentiment. I mean, I think that personally, you know, I would not have started Quinn if we couldn't adhere to those kind of, I say regulations, that's not the right word, that's a horrible word, but like, you know, that ethos. You know, launching microwave popcorn, we could have just launched a better for you microwave popcorn using the same bag and using the same oils and all that stuff. But we took a stance on like, no, like if I didn't want it, there's got to be others like me who wanted something better. So I think, you know, launching the microwave popcorn with organic popcorn, with, you know, Hyalic expeller pressed sunflower oils in pouches that you would add on top, and then with pure butter and pure cheese. And, you know, we had the maple almond sea salt was purely, or not maple almond, sorry, just the maple and sea salt was purely just maple sugar from Butternut Mountain Farms and sea salt. And so it just, I think, like, you know, that was back in 2010, but I had been thinking of doing that 10 years prior to actually jumping in. So really call it 2001. And knowing nothing about the food industry in 2001, it was just this idea that I wanted to bring to market. And so I think just like over time, right, like 2001 to 2026, like that's a long period of time of like the natural space moving in this direction. And so I think like, yes, combined with my personal ethos and consumer behavior is definitely there now. We all want simple. We want better for you. We want better for you for our families. But keeping it simple is how you get there, which means, you know, no artificial or artificial colors or flavors, no natural flavors or natural colors. Like maybe natural colors you can get away with because it's a little bit different. But I think like just from a consumer standpoint, like we're very aligned at Quinn. We really just want to make real food at the core. And that's what we're doing. Real food that, you know, tastes really good.
There you go. And that's perfect. You teed me up perfectly. You mentioned sea salt too many times and my tongue's already watering. But the third pillar there, taste. Your product has seen some really great innovation over the years. You mentioned at the outset of this interview, you know, kind of want to shake things up. Here's a stagnant category that can do more, that can be more. You know, I look at Quinn and see some of the different product types, innovations you've had, you know, starting with just those classic sticks and twists. And moving on to, you know, the filled nuggets, which I love as a, you know, it's a great little snack for me, kind of mid-morning and mid-afternoon. And now filled sticks, which I can't imagine. I'm not going to even try to think about how difficult that is to just make that work. What goes into your innovation ideation? You know, what's the secret sauce or jelly that goes into kind of thinking of logical evolutions to a brand that's, you know, trusted and successful?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot. I think some of it is just happenstance. Like sometimes we'll have innovation meetings and we're like, oh, that makes so much sense. Like, like we should be doing that. I would say, you know, flavors that are blowing up in certain categories that we feel like would be applicable to the pretzel filled space specifically, because we don't do seasoned pretzels. Our consumers on the go all the time, right? Like they're high achievers, they're on the go, whether like they're coming from work and going into their second job of like driving their kids around to sports activities. And we find that a lot of our consumers are eating, you know, in the car as a grab and go snack. How do we get them filled, satiated, to bridge them between, you know, a late lunch that they've had at the office, and then they're going to have a late dinner coming home at 8:30 or whatever it is. So how do we carry them through and make sure that they feel supported, where they don't feel like crap? They're not feeling guilty about eating that snack, right? Because we don't want to put more guilt on them. Like, you know, it's a snack, right? It should be fun. It should taste good. It should keep them sustained. And that's something that we're always kind of, we keep in the back of our minds of like, how do we show up for our consumer? How do we meet them where they're at? And our consumer is always pretty much on the go, right? Even if you're stationary, you're still kind of like on the go. So that the flavors piece is really important, watching flavor trends, but also we're not a trend-based brand. Like we very much want to reinvent, you know, old categories and make sure that we're applicable to those classic iconic flavors like peanut butter, right? Like almond butter. Pizzerias are take on combos, right? So I grew up eating combos when I was younger. really wanted something that tasted like a combo that was vegan. So we launched the pizzeria one, which I love. So I think there's a little bit about like what we have a small team. We have about 17 people on our team. And so it's like, what are they really looking for? We talk a lot with our buyers. Like, what are they seeing? What do they want? Where are their gaps? And then really when it comes down to is just how do we deliver a clean and simple flavor without natural flavors, only using extracts. So that is limiting a little bit, but it's something that we adhere to and we don't want to divert from that. So there's a lot that comes into play.
All right. I have one final question for you with a little bit of a, Spins Data preamble, if you can bear with me. You know, as mentioned at the start of the episode, Quinn Snacks is currently the number one selling pretzel brand across infra. However, I did some deeper dives of Spins Data, and the strength of Quinn is even bigger. You're actually the seventh best-selling snack brand overall across infra, and that's across pretzels, chips, and all the rest that fall into that category. Your new SKUs are succeeding. You know, the peanut butter-filled pretzel sticks, number six best-selling individual SKU within the category. You know, all these numbers are coming up wheelhouse for you. You know, how does it feel knowing your products are so highly embraced by the natural food retailers and the natural food customers of infra?
Yeah, I mean, it's we're really thrilled that it's resonating again, because you never know until you know. But we're really excited because, again, it's one of those snacks that it delivers on crunch, a little bit of salt, flavor, and carries you through the day. And like that's all we can hope for, is that we're supporting our consumer where they're at. So it's awesome that it is resonating, that they like it. The peanut butter honey filled stick is really exciting. There's a ton of potential there. And for those of you listening that do not currently carry it in your stores, I highly suggest you bring that one in. That's one that consumers are really latching onto because of that kind of snap crunch, because it's not a nugget, it's a stick. So it's like a different feel. So I don't know, I would encourage you guys to bring it in for those who don't have it. And it's exciting. The data is really validating. For years, we didn't have money to invest in data. So we were kind of blind for the first like 3 or 4 years launching into microwave popcorn, which I also don't recommend. The power of data is really important, especially with a small brand, emerging brand like Quinn way back in the day and still now. So it's very validating, and it's exciting to see and hear those numbers.
Wonderful, wonderful. I mean, well deserved. You know, I got to stop by your booth at Expo, and everything I tasted was fantastic. So for the Infra members listening, she's right. You should be hearing this. It's awesome. Yeah. You know, thank you again for taking the time today, Christy, to help our Infra audience learn more about your brand and, you know, all these important pillars that you've based your success upon. Looking forward to many more years of healthy snacking with you. And if I'm lucky, I'll see you at the next show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the time and for sharing our story.
Of course. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
As we step into March and celebrate Women's Month, we want to take a moment to shine a light on the incredible women of Infra. This month, we are featuring short clips from women across our membership and our staff. Women who are leading in stores, shaping strategy, strengthening communities, and moving the natural foods industry forward every single day. At Infra, we believe leadership takes many forms. It is resilience, it is collaboration, it is innovation, and it is women who are willing to raise their hand, share their voice, and create space for others to rise. Throughout March, you will hear directly from these inspiring leaders. Our hope is that their words not only inspire you, but also remind you of the strength and talent within our independent community. Let's celebrate the women of Infra. This is Women's Month on the Buyer's Desk.
I see women making the biggest impact at the intersection of leadership and care. Women are running stores, they're managing teams, they're building brands, and also at the same time, they're holding the bigger picture of community, values, well-being. Women are the ones asking not just, does this work, but also, who does this serve? And how does this show up in real people's lives? And in my opinion, that combination of strategy and heart is what's shaping where natural food is headed.
Hi, my name is Jamie Nessel. I'm Director of Product and Purchasing for Buyright Family of Businesses in San Francisco, California. What makes me proud to be a woman in natural foods retail is getting the opportunity to lead other exceptional women. I have been super blessed at Buyright to find a number of my people and to actually bring along a number of my people from another organization that I worked at. And I just think getting to mentor and lead like sharp, mission-driven, like committed women who are just making such an impact in the industry makes me so, so proud. So on my team, I am blessed to get to work with one of our owners, the owner of our Buyright Creamery, Chris, one of our category managers, Jenny. I get to work with two of our purchasers, Catlin and Natalie. And then I myself am led by a woman. One of our co-CEO is Brianne. And none of these women like need to be in the spotlight, but they deserve to be in the spotlight. And natural foods, I feel like, has always attracted people who care, especially women who care. And even when the grocery industry was male-led, I think that there was always women leading within it, bringing like their expertise, bringing their vision, bringing their heart to every store everywhere. So being in this good company and getting to help kind of shape the next generation of women in the industry is my favorite thing about working in natural foods.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible Infra staff contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible. Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spin's segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.